As we begin today, I'd like to ask you a short, simple, yet probably deep question that may take some time is, what is your greatest blessing or privilege in this life? What is your greatest blessing or privilege in this life? And I think for many of us, it's something that we've obtained. Maybe it's family, a relationship, maybe it's even possessions, a great gift that you've received. For others, it's what we've become, something that we've mastered or we've reached the summit to. Maybe it's a certification or a title or a position. But I think the key is, for most of us, our greatest joy and our greatest blessing is something that we have obtained, some title or some position that we have reached. But what if our greatest privilege was never intended to be something that we could obtain? What if we could spend our whole lives, even eternity, and never obtain it? Would you call that a blessing or a curse? Let's explore that as we jump through our text today in Genesis. Now, as you saw, our verses were 26 through 31, but before we get into those verses, we need to really walk in the first half of this chapter, because our last verse said that it was the end of the sixth day. So I don't know about you, but what happened in days 1 through 5? Like, I think we need to know. The word Genesis means the beginning or the origin of, and so that's why this is the first book of the Bible. Now, the first chapter of this book is describing the world that God created, even the world that we see around us today. And in it, in this chapter alone, we see some very interesting things about God. Verse 1 tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. In other words, God existed before creation. So right off the bat, we see something very incredible about God. He's different than everything else. He existed. There's no reference in time for him. He existed before creation. Now, we start reading later in verses, and we'll see different accounts of creation where God is creating a unique aspect of the world around us. And in each segment, if you read this in your own time, you'll see a pattern here. God said, and then his will is carried out. In essence, God speaks into creation. It just happens. He speaks and it happens. In each and every day, it ends with, and God saw, and it was good. And God saw, and it was good. It's like the Alexa device that my mother-in-law gave our family for Christmas, right? Our kids hear things like, Alexa, play some Christmas music, or Alexa, what's the weather outside, or Alexa, volume 5. And my kids are like, Alexa, make me mac and cheese. Alexa, clean my room. And Lauren and I are like, it doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? I think all of us know from experience, be it Alexa, Google, yes, even Siri, that they all have limitations. I mean, I love Alexa. We have 3 of them. I think it's a great device. But when I walk up to Alexa and I say, Alexa, what is the weather outside? And she's like, I don't know that one. I'm like, that's your number one job, is to be able to tell me what the weather is. You know what I mean? Alexa has limitations. But that's not what we see here in this passage. God existed. God speaks, and things happen. In future weeks, we'll see things like God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. What we're saying is there are no limits to God. He's limitless. And because of that, that's why we start our series today acknowledging that God is incomprehensible. Incomprehensible. In other words, God cannot be fully understood. Fully understood. Because our knowledge of him stretches into infinity. There's no end. And really, the driving premise behind this is God is God, we are not. God is eternal, we are not. God is all-powerful, we are all not. You see where we're going here. God is God and we are not. Essentially, God is limitless, we are not. Now, not only do we see this here in Genesis, but we see it all throughout Scripture. Read with me, if you will. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, in my thoughts than your thoughts. We read another in Psalm chapter 145, verse 3, where David says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is what? Unsearchable." His greatness is unsearchable. What this means for us is that the person who would devote every second of their life to learn more about God would only scratch the surface. Would only scratch the surface. Now, to be clear here, we need to talk about what this means and what this does not mean, right? So what this does not mean is that God is a God of confusion or that he's elusive, that we can never wrap our, that's not what it is. It also doesn't mean that we cannot know about God, which oftentimes we confuse this, right? This does not mean that we cannot know about God or his attributes. What this means is that we simply cannot fully understand the attributes or aspects of God. For example, yes, we know that God is a God of love, but we will never fully grasp the depth of love that he has for us. Yes, God is powerful, but we will never truly understand just how powerful. And the consequence of this is that we will spend the rest of our lives and into eternity learning more about God, because we'll never get to a point where we fully understand. And here's the thing, is that if you think you're there, like you think you've reached this summit, you're actually the furthest from it. Because part of wisdom is understanding that we will never, ever fully understand him. Now, typically hearing this will lead us to one of two responses. The first is that you think you're the exception, that you can know everything about God, or you feel like you must fully understand God before you can buy into who he is. That's the first category. The second is that you hear something like this and you get frustrated. You're like, if I can never fully understand, then why am I even going to do this? And you give up. But both are equally in error. Both are equally in error. Now, perhaps you've heard these two categories and you say, I'm neither. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. But first, I want to talk to you, those of you who think you are the exception, right? That you can't proceed until you fully understand God. And my question to you today is, do you really want that? Do you really want that? Not the desire to understand God, but do you want a God who you can fully understand? Should there not be some mysterious quality about this all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God, understanding that we just can't fit that into a box? You see, because what happens is we get caught in a juxtaposition. We want this splendid God, greater than ourselves, to give us hope beyond ourselves, because we get to this place where we realize that we aren't in control, or when we're not limitless, and our hearts cry out for one that is. There has to be someone stronger than me. There has to be someone greater than me. And I don't have to give you examples, because I've met with each of you so much so that I know we're all walking through stuff like that, or we have, or we will. We've all come to a place where we have said, I need a limitless God, right? And yet the rest of the time, we want to fully understand everything about God before we can sign off on or approve on him, as if we were the ones creating him. And when you do that, you're assuming you should be at least on the same level as him, if not higher. And if that's true, let's stop using the term God. Let's stop using the term God. Call him genie, call him fortune teller, call him sorceress, call him anything you want. But if you could fully understand God, he would not be God. It's impossible. Is that really what you want? Now, perhaps you find yourself on the other side of the spectrum. This idea of not being able to fully comprehend God drives you to the point of frustration and giving up. Why bother with this? Why read the Bible? Why go to church? Why pray? Why do any of this? And what I want you to see is that it's not that God can't be understood, it's that he can't be fully understood. That you will continue to learn about him, new things into eternity, because he's that glorious. He's that limitless, that powerful, that magnificent. And that should drive us to want to learn more about him for the rest of our lives. And we'll see how that happens here in a bit. But maybe even more interestingly, as we kind of continue to dive into this, is that no matter where we find ourselves on that spectrum, the very thing that we want of God, to be able to fully understand him, is the very thing that we don't want others to have of ourselves. Right? We don't want people to fully understand us. We'll say that we want that when it's convenient, when it gets us off the hook, right? We're all guilty of saying something like, you just don't get me. Like, if you did, you would understand that I didn't mean what I did. You'd let me off the hook. It's not my fault. But the thought of others knowing us is only intriguing when it's for our benefit. Because here's the deal. If you really knew me, if you really got me, that level of understanding would extend beyond my words, my actions, or even my thoughts. That level of understanding of me, David Mobley, would penetrate to my heart. And if you went to that place, you would see a dark, cold, stone heart, and you'd run away. You don't want to fully know about me. I don't want you to fully know about me. We don't want others to have that depth of understanding of what I know of myself. But ironically, I don't even fully know myself. Same goes for you. If anything, we're deceived, right? We're experts of putting on masks, of concealing, and even pretending. Our culture says that it values authenticity, right? We hear it all the time. Just be you, man. But really, when push comes to shove, it's just when it's for our advantage, when it's cool, when it's hip. The truth is, the only one who fully understands God is God himself. And the only one who fully understands you is not you. It's also God. God understands everything about you. Your actions, which we can all see, your thoughts, which we can kind of see by your facial expression, but even deeper than that, your heart. He understands all of that. And not just the good things about you, the terrible things about you. He knows everything on that spectrum, no matter the layer of masks that you try to put on. How does that make you feel? Makes me feel hopeless sometimes. And so I think the question is, if he fully understands us, but we can't fully understand him, where does that leave us? I mean, what on earth am I supposed to do? Luckily, our story in Genesis 1 continues into our passage today. Let's read it together again. Verses 26 through 31 say this. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with its seed and its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was what? Very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So when we read this passage, there seems to be something different about the creation of Adam and Eve. Unlike the rest of creation that was just spoken into existence, Adam and Eve are created. the created in the image and in the likeness of God. The same limitless, all-knowing, all-powerful God that we just discussed. And even more so, if you keep reading into chapter 2, you'll see that God himself forms the man through dust and then breathes into him to give him the breath of life. Further, we see God gives them dominion. He blesses them. And as we saw, he says they are very good. We've moved beyond just good. Everything under the sun has been created now. And every time it's been, that's good, that's good, that's good. He gets to Adam and Eve and he says, wow, that's very good. And just another chapter later, we see that God actually walks in the garden with Adam and Eve. But what I want you to see here is that Adam and Eve are no different from us. They didn't fully understand God, but they truly knew him through intimate relationship. They truly knew him. But what I want you to see is that even that account, this is where we get it mixed up all the time, that account starts with God himself coming to Adam and Eve. God is the one initiating this relationship. God creates, God breathes, God speaks, he gives them names. It's not the other way around. And this storyline continues all through Scripture. God desires relationship with his people. You see, the key is that many think we need to fully understand God. But what I want us to see is that the key is not fully understanding God, but truly knowing God. Truly knowing God. And there's a difference here. We've already established that we can understand God, but not just fully. We will never be able to wrap our minds around the limitless nature of God. But truly knowing God, truly knowing him, that's relational. That's a matter of the heart. But if he's so much greater than us, so much higher than us, if he's limitless, so much so that I can't fully understand him, how can I even have a relationship with him? Well, the way this works is that he would have to reveal himself to us. That's the only way that this could work. Which he is obviously under no obligation to do, right? I mean, just remember that he is the one that created us. He doesn't have to reveal himself. But luckily, we read all throughout Scripture that God desires relationship with his people. And so in order to do that, God graciously chooses to reveal himself. Now just think about that for a moment. This limitless God over all of the universe. I mean, I can't even put to words, right? He's limitless. That's the definition. He desires relationship with you. It's incredible. But if you think that's crazy, just see what happens next. Because God's incomprehensible nature includes his incomprehensible love towards us. It moves beyond mere revelation. It begins and continues with God coming to dwell with his people. But even beyond that, he wasn't just a God that just came to be with his people. He willingly lays down his life to die for the ones that have run away from him. In turn, rescuing from their sins and the death and eternal separation that comes with that. You see, God does what we will never understand. This limitless God that we just talked about drops certain attributes of those to come and rescue and die for his people. We are a people full of limits. Our biggest one being our sin and separation from God. And yet, right when we think that we can't be fully known or we don't want to be fully known, God does. The limitless God comes and desires to save his people. Because his incomprehensible nature includes his incomprehensible love towards us. And the beautiful thing is that we'll spend the rest of eternity diving into this, discovering more and more of his love, as well as the rest of who he is. And this is all done through relationship. It's done through relationship because of Jesus. Because of his love, followers of Christ are in a new covenant now. Where one of the many promises, right? There's many that we could talk about. One of the many promises is that we will truly know God himself. Jesus says this in John chapter 17, verse 3. He says, and this is eternal life, that they what? Know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus was sent into this world by God the Father with the mission to restore the broken relationship between God and his people so that we may truly know him. We see more of this in the book of Hebrews. It says this, and they shall not teach, I love this passage, just read it with me, and they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord. For what? They shall who? All know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. That's incredible. From the least to the greatest. And it clearly has nothing to do with us. It's not our status, it's not our intellect, it's not our power, it's not even those people who teach us. It's God himself revealing himself to others, to us, so that we can truly know him. And just in case you keep reading this, you're like, I don't think he's, just keep reading then. The letter of 1 John 5, chapter 5, verse 20 says this. And we know that the Son has, God has come, and this is interesting, right? Has given us understanding so that we may what? Know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Now, here's the thing. If this is true, it changes everything. It has to change everything. For those who feel like they have to fully understand God before they can continue in this relationship, he moves beyond this thing that we put under a microscope to dissect for information. He's more than this thing that we try to extract from to try to help ourselves or to make ourselves feel spiritually accomplished even. That would be like if you were dating someone or you were marrying someone or married to someone and the only thing you cared about was facts. You'd be like, oh, I know their favorite color, I know their favorite restaurant, but you don't know them. You don't know them relationally and you missed out. That's what that's like when we put God under a microscope. And instead, when we come to this revelation that we know him, we truly know him, we come to terms that we won't fully understand him. And that's a beautiful thing. Because the rest of our lives and into eternity will be a continued revelation of his glory, which in turn actually frees us up to know him relationally. It's a beautiful thing. Getting to know the limitless God is the greatest privilege that you will have in this life and into eternity. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? For those of you who feel like you can't fully understand God and so you've given up, you're right, but it's driven you to the wrong place. Because I want you to see here that God wants you to understand him, so much so that he has promised to reveal himself to you for this life and into eternity. We will just never fully understand him, and that's a beautiful thing. And the best way to begin to know or understand God, rather, is to know him. And if you want to know God, start by looking at the works of Jesus Christ, who Paul tells us in the book of Colossians is the image of the invisible God. If you want to see God, look to the life of Jesus. Now, what this means for all followers now is that our perspective changes. Our perspective changes because it's no longer one of frustration or annoyance. We mirror the song of David, who sings this in Psalm 139. Such knowledge is what? It's just beautiful, right? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't contain it. He acknowledges that he can't contain it. But what's the beginning half of that verse say? I can't contain it. It's wonderful. That's his perspective. When we're at peace with the fact that we fully can't understand God, we worship when he reveals himself. It's beautiful. You chose to reveal yourself to me? That's too wonderful. You're glorious. Thank you. Because it doesn't depend on our understanding or our intellect. It's his revelation, his love, and his desire for relationship with us. Friends, I want the rest of our lives to be spent in this pursuit of knowing God, putting us on a journey into eternity. Because I'm going to say it again, the personal relationship with our limitless God is our greatest privilege in this life. There's no greater thing. Now, as a result of this new covenant, of this restored relationship with God the Father, we can read more of Psalm 145. In verse 3, we read that his greatness is unsearchable, but now we can read verses 1 through 3, and they say this. Just get in this now with the psalmist, will you? Just read these words. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name. How long? Forever and ever. How many days? Every day I will what? Bless your name and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. It's beautiful. I want you to see this is beautiful. Every day we will praise God for who he is into eternity. This is incredible. And here's another beautiful consequence, is that the more you come into relationship with God, and the more that he reveals himself of you, of himself rather, the more we will truly begin to know ourselves. The more you come into relationship with God, the more he reveals himself to you, the more you will truly know yourself. Why? Because again, we are created in his image. His very breath gives Adam and Eve life. Self-help books, blogs, tweets, pictures, they all pale in comparison to discovering more of the limitless God in whose image you were made. Do you believe that? I want me too, to revel in this glory for eternity. Like, it's an ongoing experience where we just unlock new treasures every day. Every day is a new treasure. And the treasure is not some superficial thing. It's God's glory as he comes and reveals himself. You will never run out of ways to experience God. You will never run out of ways to experience him. And when you do, when you learn more of God's glory and his limitlessness, the more you'll come to the terms and the fact that you are not limitless. And that's okay. Take a breath. Everyone feels like you're not limitless. It's just like there's some peace that comes with that, isn't it? You're not limitless. You were never intended to be. You were intended to look at the one who is. That's it. But more than just to look at him, to be in relationship with the one who is limitless. It's incredible. Now, if you want some practical ways, I'm going to give you some very practical ones. And here's the thing. I've heard from folks that say, you can't always say these just repeated things over and over again. My thing is, if I had 100% confidence that we were all doing these things, I'd stop talking about them. So I'm going to give you some really basic ones, right, that try to flow with this. Spend time in prayer. You say that every week. Are you praying? Are you praying? Because in that, the limitless God listens. Is that not crazy? In prayer, the limitless God listens. And here's the thing, because I don't want you walking away thinking that God does not want you to understand him. Ask him to reveal himself to you. And he will. He promises that he will. Read his word. You say that every week. Are you reading the Bible? Are you reading more than someone's thoughts of the Bible? Are you more than just reading a devotion? Are you actually opening up this Bible and reading the Word of God where the limitless God speaks? Are you reading his Word? This is the most important book you'll ever read. You will read this for the rest of the days of your life and never fully understand it. You will learn something new every time. There's never a place of, well, I did my read through the Bible year plan, whatever it's called. I don't have to read it. No. Every time you open this up, ask God, show me something new. Help me fall in love with you. And he will. Read his word. Next, get in community. Get in community where the limitless God manifests himself. But more than that, so that you can be known by others. because you are not incomprehensible. You're meant to be known. And stop pretending like you can't be. At Vintage, we truly value authenticity. I know I just went on my whole spiel about how culture says it only when it's hip, only when it's cool. We truly believe that. It's one of our DNA points here at this church. And why is that? It's because that we believe by grace alone we have been saved by the works of Jesus Christ. There's not a thing we can do to add or subtract from it. You know what that means? There's no room for pretending. There's no point in pretending. If anything, it's a more beautiful thing that I'm not kept clean and Jesus saves me. I don't have to put on a mask. We value authenticity. Come here, no matter who you are, and experience more of who this Jesus is and what he's done for you. You were created to be known. You were created for relationship. You thrive in relationship. And the best way to do that here is through community groups. There's small groups of people that meet throughout the week, and you may be like, well, that sounds like a Bible study. We study the Bible, that's sure. But don't just come in for 30 minutes and read it and go, what do you think? Awesome. Let's peace out. Great. Thanks for the information. No, man, we're doing life with one another. That's a beautiful thing. I really, really encourage you. If you're new here, would you check out a community group? We've got 4 to 5 groups right now. We're already talking about planting more. We want community groups all over Cary, Apex, Holly Springs, Mooresville, everywhere. Get in and do life with people. Carry one another's burdens. Celebrate with one another's joys. Eat good food together. Laugh, cry. You will see that that is when you can truly be in relationship, is when you can be authentic. There's no masks. Get in community. Finally, part of experiencing God yourself is revealing him to others. And that may be where most of us in this room struggle with. There is an aspect of God that you will begin to experience when you go out and risk everything to share him with others. Why? Because it's not on your own power that you share this good news. The Holy Spirit indwells your heart, and before you know it, you're saying things you didn't even plan to say. Part of experiencing God is sharing him with others. He desires to be revealed. Would you reveal him to others? Now, like I talked about earlier, there's 2 categories. There's also a third. Because I know some of us feel like we've been listening in on what others may care about. And that maybe the thought of knowing, let alone understanding God, doesn't really matter to you. In fact, I fear that many of us may be living as if we're not even considering God. And I hear what you say. There's other things to pursue. There's so many things to go after. Why bother with God? Maybe later. Maybe when I'm older. Maybe when things slow down. Maybe when this account's filled up all the way. Another passage in Scripture addresses this very issue. Book of Jeremiah says this. I want you to read this now. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Read this next part with me. Seriously. Come on. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. This passage is abundantly clear that in this world you will find forms of wisdom, levels of might and status, and even riches. And the list goes on. This is not exhaustive. The Bible talks about this. There's pleasure, there's security, there's power, you name it. There are certainly things to go after in this world. But this passage also says that true purpose, true joy, is truly knowing God. It's truly knowing God. And that is his desire for each and every one of us in this room, myself included, is that we would know him. And he has proved that himself in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so here's the thing. I'm going to say this as lovingly as I can. If you find yourself in this room as a follower of Christ and you don't care Wake up. Wake up. If you follow Jesus, a life of apathy is not your calling. It's not. If you believe what you say you believe, this should change literally everything about your life. There's no categories. There's no silos. Everything about your life. You follow a limitless God whose power cannot be understood. But here's what I want you to see. That same power lives in you. You can't be apathetic. I'm begging you. Please do not be apathetic. The same power that Jesus lived with, the same power that rose him from the grave, that Holy Spirit lives in you. You can't be apathetic with that. You have got to go and share. You have got to leverage everything that you can for the advancement of this gospel, carry, apex, the world. You've got to care. And your life has to show it. Now, if you consider yourself, or if you don't rather, consider yourself a follower of Jesus, maybe you're doubting, maybe you're seeking, I am infinitely glad that you are here. This church exists for you. We exist for doubters, seekers, and followers. No matter where you find yourself in that category, any other category, I don't care. You belong here. And I'm so glad you're here. But I want you to see, I want you to see that this limitless God who can do anything does the unthinkable. He drops certain attributes. He leaves his throne and he comes to live with us. But more than that, to die for us, for you, not just us corporately, for you. That is incomprehensible. That is incomprehensible. Would you accept and believe this message? I'm begging you. I would love to speak with you and talk about this more. Would you at least come back and explore more of who this Jesus is and what he's done? Friends, God is incomprehensible. We are not. And that is a good thing. While we cannot fully understand him, we can truly know him. And that's because his incomprehensible nature manifests itself through his incomprehensible love for you, made evident through the person and the works of Jesus Christ. Spend the rest of your life delving this into eternity. There is no greater privilege. Let's pray. God, I thank you that I don't even know where to begin. You're incredible. And the fact that you would choose to reveal yourself to us, that alone is incredible. And the fact that you would come live with us is mind-boggling. And then the fact that you would die for us is, we'll never understand that. I pray for all of our hearts in this room that we would come alive to that news. That our lives would be fueled knowing that we serve a limitless God who came and died for us. But even more than that, that that same power lives in us, dwells in us, and fuels everything that we do. Would you help us leave this place not with apathy, but with boldness, with courage, with anticipation for what you will do and carry apex and beyond? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.